Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 16, produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 14, Tresse Odomanis, Facets of Reality. As long as the eyes could see, trees sighed and murmured around. Trees, trees, trees. Their tall trunks were turquoise and peacock blue and carmine and jade and silver white, paler than Antares's skin. The fiery spell of autumn tinted their crowns. The wind carried leafy flames and stirred them underfoot, bright red against the patina of moss. The air was getting crisper. A lonely cluster of Sietri snuggled to the bottom of a knoll, lost in a foreign world. Hegel frowned nostalgically. He thought back to the vast grasslands by his family home where he'd sneak out to meditate at night. Where the Sietri blossom, the meadow turns into a whispering reflection of the stars. Stay there for a while, with the sky above and the sky below, till time slows down and stands quivering still, and you're in between worlds, and one with all the magic.
This is unusual.
Nasteri's voice snapped Hegel out of his musings.
What is?
Tay scratched his nose and looked around. The forest looked exactly as before.
There's a...
Nasteri paused, looking for words.
It's like we're walking through two realities at once. One solid, with the forest and the trees, and the other one looks to be traced in mist, more like a memory.
He hesitated.
It seems as though there used to be a city here in some ancient times. Or maybe not that ancient. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing things.
Tay and Hegel glanced around again, then at each other. Tay shrugged. He saw no cities, only leaves rustling in the breeze.
I don't see anything,
he said.
But if you tried to weird me out, you got it right. Now something surely feels off and I can't put my finger on it. And it bothers me, congrats.
He grimaced. Nasteri sighed.
Never mind. Thought you'd have noticed too. Like these blocks of stone, see?
He pointed at the moss. Tay rubbed his face.
Really wonder what's going on with you sometimes.
Nasteri sniffed.
I wish I knew that myself.
He thought, ironically, then added out loud.
Forget it. Probably just a mirage.
It wasn't.
Antares told them levelly. All three turned to her.
What do you mean?
While space is constant, time is variable. Space keeps all the layers.
Oh.
Tay frowned.
Great, I wish I didn't ask.
Antares stopped and pulled her green cloak in closer. The silver rims glistened in the sun.
You can imagine it like a book,
she explained.
Space is the binding, and the pages are all the years and eras that that place existed through. They are all there, but you only see the page that you're currently on.
Right.
So does that mean that the past is always there, alive, even in the present? And you can flip the pages back to see what's there?
Nasteri asked.
Yes. The energy of time, just like other forms of energy, can neither be created nor destroyed. If you wish, you can go back years, centuries, and millennia. Though the further back, the more energy you need.
Fascinating. And what about the future?
Hegel wondered.
Can we see the pages that lie ahead?
It's possible,
Antares said.
Albeit more complex. Navigating the labyrinth of the future requires certain mastery.
Thank you.
Hegel pulled out his notebook and scribbled something hastily.
So I suppose that's what Nasteri saw? The past?
Yes.
That's not fair,
Tay burst out.
I want to see that too. How do I do it?
You may know just the star to help you.
Antares answered with an elvish half-smile in the way Kano would, and as soon as that, the Aite forest was gone. A curious garden stretched around, tranquil and fresh, its winding alleys framed with fragrant shrubs. Round, fuzzy insects busied themselves among the blossom. Trees, stern like cypresses, towered against the deep blue sky. Their foliage was thick and glossy white, as bright as snow. The scent of rain still lingered in the air. The breeze shook showers of glitter from wet leaves. Pockets of water studded the crevices on the central path. The main path was wide, like a royal road, and ancient as time itself, its giant golden slabs strewn with cuts and dents. Hegel's gaze skimmed over them, indifferent at first, taking them for mere signs of age. But then something made him stop and look again, closer. His eyes glinted with wonder. Images. The cracks were grooves, once chiseled by someone's hand. Each block bore a different symbol, a cryptic message. Their secret voices called, crooned, and whispered to him in vain. He didn't understand their tongue.
Holy Star, what does this mean?
Hegel pointed down at the slab he stood on, engraved with a cascade of streams flowing from one source.
If anything.
Freedom.
Antares answered with a strange smile, as though recalling a memory from a long ago.
Freedom,
Hegel repeated pensively. He shuffled his boot on the slab, then looked to his left and right. A peculiar feeling suddenly came over him, as though that time-worn etching had something to do with his future.
Are they all different?
He asked.
Almost. There are 360 of them, times two. Have you chosen yours?
I suppose I have. I'm not sure.
Hegel frowned, taken off guard. This now seemed like a test of sorts. He glanced down again, wondering if he did it right, whatever was expected of him.
You too. Choose one each.
Antares said to Tay and Nasteri as she walked over to another slab. Depicted on it were a pair of triangles with wings. Triangles with wings. Nasteri stared at the image, trying to remember where he might have seen it. It looked familiar, so eerily familiar. Where did he see it?
Neri, wake up,
Tay's voice prompted. The captain stood on a slab that showed a flag turning into an eagle. He was grinning proudly for some reason.
Hold on, just thinking.
Nasteri crossed his arms. He studied the symbol again. He surely knew it from somewhere. But where? Maybe a dream.
My apologies,
Hegel suddenly muttered, discomfited.
I see another one that I prefer better. Is it permissible to change?
By all means,
Antares told him. Hegel twisted his lips in a timorous downward smile and moved onto a block with an image of a crystal gazer on it. The warrior clasped his hands behind his back and froze expectantly. Nasteri hesitated still. He would take the triangles one, if not for the fact that Antares was already there. Although the slab was large enough for both of them, it would mean he'd stand so close.
Come on, how hard can it be?
Tay was losing patience.
I'm deciding!
If he stood there, next to her, what would they think? What if his face betrayed him somehow? What if...
Nasteri!
Yes?
It's only a stupid block. Choose one already.
Fine.
Nasteri felt his heart beating faster.
You're an Asterian,
he reminded himself.
Asterian step back for no one, only your truth.
With those words in mind, Nasteri pulled in a breath, straightened up, and walked resolutely to the slab where Antares stood, his gaze fixed squarely on the symbol.
Done,
he threw at Tay with a flare of defiance.
Good,
the captain nodded. He turned to the great star. Her hair flowed in the breeze, soft midnight silver. There was something oddly ruffling in seeing Nasteri by her side, somehow.
What now?
Antares smiled mysteriously.
Ready?
Ready for what?
Tay raised his eyebrows.
Your choices are the threads that make the fabric of your life.
Antares said. The path under her feet yielded the honeyed gleam of molten sun.
I'd love to say that I understood.
Tay confessed.
Just look.
Antares told him lightly.
Now.
Where?
Around you.
I don't...
The captain began, but then fell silent. His eyes widened in astonishment.
Wicked.
Reality receded, gently, gently, like wisps of mist clearing in the morning and scattered into facets. The path split into two, then three, then more. A shimmering multitude sprang before the quarter out of every slab they chose. Almost a dream, yet infinitely real, their future swam at them, the secret glimpses of the times far away. What seemed at first mere blocks of metal, each had become a gateway, an opportunity, a seed of what might or might not be. Before they knew it, each stepped into a world that was his own. Hegel saw manuscripts and scrolls, a small hut hidden in the mountains, and a young star braving a long, perilous road for his advice. A storm loomed from afar, drawing in, but the skies were still bright above the valley. Tay's vision was fire and battles, the vastness of space torn with explosions of light, the eyes of those who would fight by his side and take his orders. A man's face, stern and framed with jet black hair that partially covered a scar on his left temple. It looked familiar for some reason. Why? For a moment, Tay felt as though he knew that piercing gaze from somewhere, or ought to have known. Nesteri looked up. His path ascended in spirals, high and higher. But where to, he could not tell. The world became a blur. A figure of light, a chalice, and a sword shone in his mind again. A flashback of the dream he had on the blue planet. Too close, too far, dazzling, unsettling.
Kai to Severi.
What did that mean? The sound of A.E. made him think of Antares. He let out a little sigh. As soon as that, Nesteri could see her again, right next to him, their shoulders nearly touching. Heat kindled in his chest and spread throughout, pulsing, making him struggle for breath. The warrior nervously licked his lips and dropped his gaze. He wondered if the great star noticed.
Hopefully not.
He comforted himself.
Surely not.
He wasn't a pathetic failure like Tay. He would never let Antares think of him as weak. He's better than that. Always had been. Nesteri closed, then slowly opened his eyes. The maze around was alive with shimmer. It trembled, throbbed, and whirled in the dizzying rhythm, moving incessantly. New rays of chances flared from every point of choice, split and merged together. Times, people, places flashed and disappeared, appeared and vanished faster than his thought could follow. Nesteri rubbed his brow. His eyes were getting sore, and so was his brain. Nothing felt real anymore. He briefly wondered if that was what going insane might feel like, then glanced to his right at Antares, still and peaceful amongst the wild phantasmagoria of gleam, and took a deep breath. Her serenity calmed his mind.
Who built this?
Nesteri asked in an undertone, squinting.
The priests from the temple where the main path leads to.
Antares answered.
They were devotees of the freedom of choice.
Her voice cast the visions away. The frenzied dance of realities eased and gradually waned. The garden was quiet again, save for the thin lapping of leaves, and the golden path was only one.
They were,
Hegel echoed.
So they are no longer here?
His everyday tone startled Nesteri somewhat. He studied his battle brother, vaguely puzzled, wondering if he had seen the shimmering labyrinth as well. It didn't seem as though he had.
They are long gone,
Antares said. She turned to carry on her way and gestured for the rest to follow. Tay stretched and joyfully ruffled his hair. Moving again felt good.
What happened?
he asked, catching up with the great star in a few large strides.
One of the choices had led them astray,
came an enigmatic answer. Antares looked ahead with a note of pensiveness.
Millennia grasped their footprints since.
Reality is just a reflection, a multitude of reflections. Stop and watch, with your mind quiet, and you'll recognize your true power over it.
Hegel would write in his notebook later.
Attention, focus, and willpower are the true weapons of the warrior's mind. Seek mastery in all three. Beware of the habits and the attitudes that go unnoticed.
The path ahead gleamed like a golden river, darker where the tree shadows cut across it. The air was hot and still, heavy with blossom scents. Small, silvery spheres in the grass trembled anxiously on their wiry stems as the stars passed by. Here and there grew even stranger forms, warped, succulent, and bright blue, tapered at the top, akin giant rapana shells. A row of tiny drops, round and clear like dew, traced their edges. Tay stopped for a moment, eyeing curiously one of the alien shells. It seemed so outlandishly grotesque, so utterly bizarre, it nearly hurt to look. A random stroke of mischief hit him then. The captain stretched his hand and poked at one of the drops by the edge. At his touch, the shell squirmed repugnantly. Its surface rippled and contorted throughout. Hundreds of cracks broke open, flapping desperately like spasmodic mouths.
Demons are...
Tay jerked back his hand.
Pardon my language. Didn't expect that.
He winced in disgust.
What is this?
To Fox Tex.
Antares told him with a hint of amusement.
Never mind the name,
Tay muttered. He sniffed his finger, then wiped it on his sleeve.
Not poisonous, right? Or is it?
Antares smiled.
They're harmless.
Thank light for that.
Tay grimaced again.
I thought it was a plant, but it's more like an animal, huh?
A bit of both.
I see.
Tay didn't really care to know. He tugged at the collar of his jacket as though in an instinctive wish to take it off, but then just opened it wider.
Think before you act.
His teacher's words swam at him from the sea of memory. He twisted his mouth. It looked like he still failed to heed Master Alsphere's advice, even after all these years. Oh well.
Peculiar,
Hegel commented absently. He walked with his head down, thoughtful, transfixed on the path. The flow of fatidic symbols intrigued him deeply, stirring questions with no answers. And yet, the mystery felt good. It had a taste of studying old maps or ancient scrolls, their faded voices echoing with the wisdom of the days bygone. He should sketch some of these, Hegel told himself as he contemplated the strange cities. Unfathomable beings and mythical beasts, and the more puzzling engravings he struggled to put a name to. An ancient sword used in many battles. A butterfly with a third wing on its left side. A man with a globe on his head. What did they mean? What kind of choices were they gateways to? Hegel frowned at the vision of a man with four rigid legs. There was something eerily ominous about it. He walked around that slab. At the end of the golden path, a shrine waited for them, majestic in its austere beauty, its colossal facade chiseled in pale yellow rock, towered against the rich cobalt of the sky. Led by Antares, the party waded through a shallow stream that circled the entrance and stepped into watchful darkness. Dim echoes of forgotten rites and dead, overwhelming stillness reigned within. Through the cracks overhead, long shafts of sunlight slipped in like thin, pallid feathers. A pensive glow touched the murals, brushed on the solemn braziers and thuribles veiled in dust, and glinted on the small, polished rods scattered on the floor, numerous and strangely untarnished by time. The rest of the hall was drenched in shadows. Silence sealed all. Vigilant, brittle silence shrouded the visitors, almost a spell, bidding them keep quiet. The quarter instinctively softened their step as though not to disturb the ancient sleep of some unknown power dozing in the deep. The parched grass mats crumbled to dust under their feet. At the far end where no light reached, steps rose in a semicircle, flanked with tiered pillars and crowned with a stone altar at the top. Long, pointed crystals extended out of the podium, gleaming vaguely. A whisper, merely a shadow of a thought.
You are more than you think you are.
Soundlessly, Antares ascended the altar steps and reached down. Her cloak rose and fell behind her like silken wings. The mystified warriors watched as the great star collected a handful of copper rods from the floor. Still without a word, Antares turned to the podium and slid the rods into some slots on it, invisible in the dark. They went in, one by one. The crystals flared, dimly at first, but growing brighter, as swiftly as the bird flies from an open cage. Their glow was green and coral, scintillating. And surely, the spectres answered. They came at once, just as they would have done millennia ago, craving the light, bewitched by the light, drinking the light in. The misty figures drew towards the podium from all sides, lingering timidly before Antares. She glanced over at Nesteri, at his amazed eyes. He was the only one to see the apparitions too. The great star went back down to where the quarter stood and stepped towards Hegel and Tay and briefly touched their temples. Quickened by her presence, too inebriating, too close, the warriors held their breath and froze to attention.
You are.
Their vision expanded in an instant, sudden and startling, as if a blindfold had fallen off. Now they too could see. Around the altar, a crush of eidolons was gathering, wispy and colourless, ethereal like the wind. Hoods covered their ashen faces.
What are they?
Tay wondered, but for once hesitated to ask aloud. The swarm grew as the moments trickled by. It swirled and surged as though some otherworldly force drew the visitants towards the crystals. The misty river rushed past and around the stars, but kept at bay, never coming close.
There's a whole different world that we can't see. A world we know nothing about.
Hegel frowned as he contemplated the spectres gliding by. What he thought to be reality turned out to be merely one facet out of many. Only a tiny glimpse. He might as well have lived all his life with his eyes shut. What if he didn't even see himself for who he truly was, or those around him? What if...
You're more than you think you are.
A strange voice sounded in Nesteri's head again, out of nowhere, passionless and irrefutable like the peal of a large palace bell. The world around quivered and went dark.
Who are you?
Nesteri asked. He was alone in that cold, impenetrable blackness, falling deeper and deeper into it. But he was not afraid.
You?
I don't understand.
Wake up,
the voice commanded. It was strong and clear, eerily familiar.
Who are you?
Nesteri repeated, falling, or maybe flying. He couldn't tell. The voice ignored him.
Wake up before it's too late,
it urged.
Too late for what?
Open your eyes.
But...
Nesteri wanted to protest that his eyes were already open, but the voice interrupted.
Your real eyes,
it said.
My what?
Hurry. She's waiting.
That felt like a slap on the face, hard. Nesteri flinched inwardly. A burning mixture of pain and guilt stirred up in him at once, although he couldn't tell why.
Fine. I will.
He muttered in his thoughts, trying to imagine how to open his eyes with his eyes open.
I'll do as you say.
And just then, as though the second pair of his eyelids had lifted, the blackness vanished. He was in the shrine again, In the flickering light of the crystals, the taciturn faces of his friends seemed further than he remembered. It appeared he now stood on the altar steps, facing the rest, with not an inkling about how he got there. Listeri glanced around, lost.
What in light's name?
He patted himself reflectively to make sure he wasn't asleep. Nothing changed. The warrior contemplated for another moment, then shrugged and headed down. He was about to take another step when his eyes met Antares. The guardian regarded him knowingly, her stare pensive and warm. Listeri froze. An unknown longing swallowed him whole, sending smouldering fire down his fingertips. Slowly, he looked back at her, pained. The universe shrank to a single spot, and there were only him and Antares there, beyond time and space. His mind tortured him with a sweetness of coming down to her. Right now, taking her hands in his, holding close, Listeri swallowed.
No, I can't.
Panic meddled his thoughts. That didn't feel like him. He would never allow himself to...
Light, help me.
He remained motionless instead, fighting the pull, falling apart. Being alive felt like a pointless joke that he was getting tired of.
I'm damned,
he thought bitterly and looked away.
What am I turning into?
He finally noticed Tay and Hegel further behind, watching the ghostly visitors unaware. And he was there with them too, Listeri realized. His face was blank and lifeless, but they didn't see it somehow. What? His face? An icy wave of shock gushed on him.
Have I died?
As soon as that, he found himself back in his body with a mighty shudder, stunned and shivering from head to toe. If it wasn't death, what had come after him? What was it? His vision rocked dizzily.
Breathe,
Listeri told himself. He covertly pressed under his left thumb, praying to remain still. Breathe. Slowly. Deeply. He noticed Tay's questioning stare directed at him, forced a smile and shook his head.
I'm good,
he lied, raising a fist with a thumb and the pointing finger up. Breathe. Nobody needed to know. Moments dragged by, agonizingly long, chimed out by the heavy drumbeat of his heart. Breathe. But as the grip of stupor had receded, a sour taste of shame filled his mouth. He failed. He knew it, simply knew it. Without being able to put it into words, he let Antares down. But how? Listeri frowned. He didn't break the oath. He did nothing wrong. Why did it feel so wrong then? Where did he falter? The warrior sighed and gazed dully at the crystals, the hazy glow reflected in his eyes. He fervently wished to be alone right now.
Light be my guide.
His lips moved soundlessly.
I don't know what you're asking of me, but I'll do what I must. Just show me the path.
His mind turned empty and strangely still.
Show me my purpose, whatever it is. I'll give my all. There's nothing I want more.
His eyesight became clearer, or maybe the shadows around him became lighter. There were withered banners and metal symbols on the walls, and two narrow doors that framed the altar on both sides. He hadn't noticed them before. Meanwhile, the subtle vision spell on Hegel and Tay wilted. The ghostly cloaks lost their substance, vanishing more and more, until eventually blending into translucence. The altar changed as well. Its obsidian podium gleamed wetly as the countless rods melted inside and ran down in the drops of shimmer. At that sign, Antares turned without a word and headed out. The quarter followed. They sensed they shouldn't have stayed there. Not for a moment longer, and they mustn't have looked behind. Airborne flecks of light chased them close at their heels, whirling like frenzied blue fireflies. Outside, the white sunshine hit them, hot and dazzling. The warriors squinted and covered their eyes. Something had changed about the garden. They all had noticed it, and yet nobody could tell what exactly was different. Tay stretched and threw his hands behind his back, eyeing a huge block of stone that could have been a shattered pillar. The more he studied it, the narrowed and more roguish his gaze became, until eventually he decided he had to climb it, now.
Be right back,
Tay threw over his shoulder as he pulled himself up the edge of a smaller chunk that lay closer to the entrance. He walked across it to the further end, balanced over the rumble, jumped over to another block, and finally scrambled atop the largest one, digging his toes and fingers deep into the weathered carvings. The view from there was magnificent. Lines of white trees curved into lazy spirals dotted with turquoise and green. The garden was a collection of neat, rounded enclosures, huddled together into one large circle and engirdled with a wall. It seemed that the golden path led in a different direction than he remembered, though. The captain rubbed the bridge of his nose, puzzled. Suddenly, he wasn't sure. Paying attention is a good habit, their teacher used to say, and Nasteri after him. Tay sniffed. He might have been falling short of other benchmarks, but never with his orientation skills. He was excellent with directions, always had been. It was a skill that had saved his neck many a time. How come he couldn't recall where they had travelled from? Tay checked again, shrugged, and decided he'd think about it later. He lingered for a few moments before heading back, relishing the touch of the sweet-scented air in his lungs, the vastness of the sky above, and the sense of freedom. It was the best feeling in the world. Down by the entrance, Hegel was talking to Antares, asking questions. Tay followed his route in reverse, jumped on the ground, lithe like a panther, walked up and stood by Hegel's side. Sand squeaked under his boots.
A mighty kingdom stood here once, a long ago,
Antares was saying.
But greed swept its glory away. Three brothers fought for the crown against their father's will. Each valued power more than the common good. Their dark craving made the rivers run with blood. Villages burnt and towns were laid in ruins over the years.
Tay suddenly noticed Nasteri's face, pale and strangely weary, as though after a long and boozy night, and perhaps more than one. Captain's brows gathered in a quizzical frown, not that he had ever seen Nasteri drinking for several nights straight. One would have never got away with that at the academy. He studied his battle brother's face again, wondering what might be wrong. Nasteri stood tall and still, holding himself with calm, reticent dignity, and pretended that he didn't see.
Finally, of the three brothers, only two had remained. Equally strong and equally stubborn, they clashed time and time again. Yet neither could pull the victory to his side.
I see. So they perished in war,
Hegel muttered.
It was not weapons, but the secret arts that summoned their end. One of the brothers ordered his priests to build an Akathanium, an horrid artifact from ancient texts. It were to draw the life force from the enemies of the Dark Prince and give it to his own people instead. And according to his will, it was done.
And so the dark dude became a king?
Tay ventured.
Not for long. His brother was defeated, but those who used the artifact became its slaves. They needed its energy to live. When the enemies were no more, energy withered, hope vanished, and people turned into ghosts.
So what we saw were...
Yes.
Hegel's face saddened. A vision from the past troubled his mind. A land, beautiful once, torn by hatred and greed. The days of laughter, dreams and promises all gone. Long perished were the proud kings and their armies. And all their glory was now grass and whispers. Scattered rods on the echoing temple's floor. How was that worth it? Hegel sighed and said nothing more.
books to life. Vision without sight.